Hello and welcome to the Client Brew Podcast. This is our Inside Bodymore show, though John, you've not been to Bodymore Heath today because there hasn't been a press conference before the West Ham game. Obviously Villa played against Ajax on Thursday night, and there was a little bit of chat in that press conference about West Ham rather than a dedicated West Ham presser. So we're going to touch on that around the edges and just give our thoughts on the game generally. Also, the Europa Conference League draw was today as well, and that is where we're going to start. It's Aston Villa at home first against LOSC Lille. LOSC Lille, they were saying, weren't they, on the feed, which I thought you just ignored the letters, to be honest. in France, we know how our route to the final has to go to get there, and it's a bloody difficult route compared to West Ham's of last year, who feels like they didn't really play anybody. Before we get into the draw, what did you make of last night, first of all, the Ajax game?
I wasn't particularly nervous. I didn't have too much trepidation about the match. I just thought Villa were going to beat Ajax at home. So that's why coming out of the home game, no, sorry, the away leg, Ajax's home leg, last week, I was pretty content with a 0-0. It was all about just nullifying Ajax. And this is, you know, kind of going to get on to my point in a minute of, I do think it's a real shame that Villa have to play their home leg first in both quarterfinal and semi-final. And I know you've got your own kind of take on it, Dan, but I just think it plays into the other team's hands, obviously. But, you know, for Villa, we know that we're going to be playing at Villa Park in the first leg against a team who will put 11 men behind the ball, which we know we've struggled to play against this season. So that will be a challenge. And then we're obviously going to have to go to Lille, Fenerbahce or Olympiacos as well. Either, you know, having a slender lead. I don't think that we're going to blow either of them away at home, if I'm being totally honest. Yeah, I just think it's a really difficult draw, to be honest, because of the teams who we're playing, but also because we're playing at home first. I do think it is a massive advantage to be playing away second, if I'm honest, especially for Villa. Because as I say, if we haven't scored in the first 60 minutes of the home leg, you know, Villa Park can be quite anxious and it will get quite tense if we haven't scored at least, you know, one or two goals at that point. And then you're thinking, well, we're going to have to do something in the away leg in front of 50,000 at Lille. And then Fenerbahce, goodness me. I think I was saying before, that's the one team that I really didn't want to play. It might not be them, but if Olympiacos beat them, then that says a lot about them. but either way, that, you know, I'm looking ahead now, four games down the line. But, you know, Villa are going to Olympiacos or Fenerbahce, knowing they have to do something, or if they have to hold on to a one-goal lead or whatever it may be. You know, we are going to have to fight to get into the final, which I know sounds like we are, obviously. But as you said, Dan, West Ham hardly had to, you know, do much to get into their final. And then they have Fiorentina in the final, and Villa could have Fiorentina in the final if they go all the way. Which, again, if you look at it, I think that's probably the one team who I didn't want to be playing in a one-off game. You know, an Italian team who are capable of kind of stifling their opponent. They did it to West Ham. I know West Ham won 3-1 in the end, I think. But it was a really difficult match for West Ham. So, really difficult draw, in my opinion. Certainly still think Villa are favourites to win the competition. But it could have been easier, I think. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of minefields coming up, I think, with those teams.
If you look at the teams that Villa will have to have faced to get to the final, if they do get there, you're looking at, you know, Europa League level teams, really, and you know, past Champions League teams, possibly Fiorentina in the final, Ajax, Lille. It's, you know, there's good teams that Villa will have to have faced to go and lift this trophy, which, you know, that's what we all want, isn't it, to be playing amongst the best. And would you want an easy route to the final? Yes, yes you would. Of course you would. Yeah. West Ham aren't going to devalue their trophy because they didn't play anyone difficult, and Villa won't make a meal out of it if we play more difficult teams. Mm-hmm. I had a theory on the post-match show after Ajax with Matt Kendrick. I don't know whether you've listened to it or not, but my thinking was, and this is maybe just to play devil's advocate, are we better to have had a more difficult time now and knock out one of the bigger teams or the better teams in the competition before we get to a final? Just because a final is obviously a one-leg shootout. It's there. It's 90 minutes plus on the day. Extra time as well, obviously. And you could come unstuck in that scenario against one of the better teams, like a Lille or a Fiorentina, which obviously could still be them. But you feel like you back... Well, my theory is I feel like I back any Villa to beat anybody over two legs. I do just wish that the Villa Park game was second. I think that is quite a big factor because you can do what we did against Ajax, basically.
This competition is quite balanced between most of the teams, like we've seen like Pauk put up a big comeback. Olympiakos won 6-1 against, I think it was Tel Aviv, maybe Haifa, I'm not too sure. That kind of shows you that anyone can kind of beat anyone. But I think with Villa, they all know that we are the scalp, and that going to Villa Park, you know, is the kind of the ultimate test for all of them. So if they can play at Villa Park first and just come away with a, you know, a one goal deficit, or maybe even two, that, you know, they're still in the tie. So this is why I think it's very difficult, and why I don't think Villa can do what you just said there, Dan, of blowing someone away first. Because even if we score once against Lille in the first 20 minutes, Lille don't have to come out at us then and then kind of break their shape and push for an equaliser, because they've got another 90 minutes to come after this game. Yeah. So it's, yeah, I think it's very difficult. I mean, in some ways, Villa should be playing in that home game with a lot of control. They should have chances, because, I say, those teams won't be coming on to us as much as what Ajax had to when they fell one goal behind, and then we kind of, you know, took it from there, win the game 4-0. So, yeah, it is very much on those home games for me. If we can get two goals ahead, then fantastic. We can go to those places and play on the counter-attack ourselves, and we will cause problems. But yeah, it's that mentality for me, that we're going into those home games with a lot more pressure, I think, than what we would have had if we'd already played the away game. And I don't think we've played very well in Europe in any game. Maybe the difference would be AZ Alkmaar. That might sound harsh because we beat Ajax 4-0, but I really don't think we were that good up until Bailey got his second goal and then they had a man sent off. I think Ajax, if anything, were the team that were more likely to get that second goal. I know we got it. Obviously, Brobbie had one off the line when Cash cleared it. So before half-time, and, you know, either side of half-time, shall I say, Ajax were in the ascendancy for me, and I think they were controlling it pretty well. Their shape caused Villa problems. And again, I know Villa have won the game 4-0, which, you know, it's probably a positive that Villa have managed to thrash AZ and Ajax. You know, they obviously had the bump on the nose against Legia, but they haven't kind of hit their stride in Europe yet, which, you know, you'd see as like a positive because they're kind of getting into it. It's kind of like, it's not tournament football necessarily, like a Euros or a World Cup, but it's that kind of, I'm trying
there's
to
no
expand
point going
it
like too that. Early. Yeah, there's no point yeah, in being exactly. amazing in the group yeah. stages and then going out in the first knockout game. You kind of build yourself in easily and just kind of scrape through. Yeah. And then you get to a point where it's like, okay, we have to switch it on now, because, and again, maybe that plays into our hands a little bit, being at home at Villa Park first, you can't be complacent with it. We as fans can't be complacent with it, thinking, oh, well, you know, we've still got the second leg. When it's the reverse way around and you go, right, we can go there, we can make a difference. It's now or never. It's all Villa Park. We did well away last week. Now it's all on tonight. You can kind of all be in it together. I fear about like a level of complacency, thinking, oh, well, it's only the first leg. You know, if we don't do it tonight, we can do it next week. The away legs are going to be very difficult throughout the rest of this tournament. Oh, there's only two more. If Villa get all the way to the final, and the final's a neutral ground anyway. But those home legs being first is almost like disappointment, because we're in a European Cup, not quite. A European competition quarterfinal and potentially semi-final. Of course, that's disappointing. But in any kind of marginal gain you can get, being at home second leg is definitely what you would pick if you could pick.
As you say, Dan, we're going to difficult places here. Like Lille are a very good team. I think they've lost...
Fourth in league, then?
Yeah, they've lost once or something at home all season, I think. I did look at the stats before, which would obviously tell you that away from home, they're not very good. So, you know, but then as I say, it kind of levels itself out, knowing that they don't have to come to Villa Park and win. They can, you know, grind out a draw or maybe just lose by one goal, because then, you know, at any point in that game, in their home leg, they can get a goal, and all of a sudden they're the ones who are going to, you know, kick on, and they'll have the, you know, the crowd with them, etc. in that second leg. So, yeah, it will be difficult for Villa, more difficult than what I anticipated it being, if I'm being totally honest, because I didn't think we'd get this sort of draw. I thought we might have, you know, had a home leg in the second, you know, against Brugge or something. I don't know. When Club Brugge come out straight away, I thought, yep, perfect. I'll have that, you know, away first against a team that Villa should be beating. All of a sudden you're in a semi-final and it's, you know, happy days. But we are going to have to do it the hard way. But ultimately, as we said before, you know, Villa are the favourites to this competition for a reason. We are a lot better than these teams. We just have to show it. But of course, that is the difficult bit, especially when you are the favourites, because it is difficult to manage, you know, say Villa are their scalp now, and not having that home leg second, it's a big leg up for a team like Fenerbahce or Olympiakos, obviously Lille as well. So yeah, I am excited by it. I'm just, you know, bit of trepidation. But as you said, Dan, maybe that could work in Villa's favour. There's going to be less complacency, hopefully, now that we know that we need to do a job at home and do it right. Then we go away from home knowing what we have to do. We'll have a game plan. If, for example, we win 2-1 or 2-0 against Lille, we'll know exactly what we need to do and how to do it from what Emery has told them to do. You know, he's the master of European competition, so this is nothing new. Yeah, I think just for us fans, knowing that we might have to get something out of Fenerbahce away or something, you know, late in April, I think it's going to be a test, but hopefully we'll be okay.
I'll just have a quick look at the league and table and around the fixture when we play. That is called LOSC, and even on Google, it's LOSC as well.
Semi-finals in May, sorry. I think I mentioned April then. It's going to be early May.
So LOSC play Marseille, and then in the midweek they play Villa, and then at the weekend they play Monaco away, and Monaco are third. The top three get Champions League, and I think fourth place is a Champions League qualifier. So they're close in the table to Monaco above them, so only 3 points difference. So they might have one eye on thinking, well, if we get battered at Villa Park, fight for the Champions League at the weekend, throw the second leg.
Where am I saying? Because they're in the Europa League, aren't they, as well? So
Marseille are seventh at the moment, 3 points behind LOSC. So it's tight. It's tight at the top of Ligue 1. Yeah, interesting. There's our thoughts anyway on the Europa Conference League. We will talk more about LOSC Lille later in the month. No, not later in the month. It's April, isn't it? So next month.
When I was about 8 or 9 years old, I did have one of their old kits.
Did you? Have you still got it? Yeah. What, the shorts from that club? I've already forgotten what they were called.
Luzern. That was crazy. Yeah, so I've got a LOSC shirt somewhere. I probably don't anymore. It would have been like a size like 12 or whatever.
Let's talk West Ham a little bit then. No proper press conference, as I said at the top of the show, but what was touched on after Ajax in terms of West Ham? Can you give us a little bit of insight there? Was it literally like one question? Was it 5 minutes?
Yeah, pretty much. Not a whole lot to take away from the little segment at the end. It's difficult because on these European games, Emery will come out like 11:15 or something. Obviously, people have places to be and, well, beds to go to. So, it's always a late one. So the press conferences are always quite rushed. And then especially if it's like an add-on of, you know, the Premier League game to come up. Usually they do have the presses at Bodymore after the home games, but I think because of the draws tomorrow, which means that Villa need to be some people need to be in Geneva for the draw, etc. It's all very difficult. To answer your question, Dan, he said a little bit about like Jared Bowen, saying that Villa will have to keep a lid on him. West Ham, still having a good season, which I agree with. There's been a lot of negativity about them this season, probably more from their fans towards Moyes than anything else. I did have a stat here that I found out that was quite alarming for Villa anyway. West Ham have only lost one of their last 14 at home.
Wow.
Which is, I was a bit shocked by that. I was thinking, oh, maybe they've lost like two of the last four or five or something. You know, it appears to be quite patchy their form, but at home they've been very good. They've won two of the last 9 games in all competitions. So that's, not particularly good, but then it's, I think, 2 of the last 3 that they've actually won. So they did have a bad run before last month, basically. I think, we were all aware of that. But yeah, going into the game, they're not actually in particularly bad form, to be fair. They're in decent nick. So I think it'll be a very difficult game, especially obviously without John McGinn. We'll touch on Ollie Watkins soon, I presume. But I think it's one of those fixtures where you look at it and think, well, Wolves at home is very hard. I think West Ham as well, very difficult. These games could easily define the season. I don't think...
Yeah, it's crunch time, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think Man City and Arsenal away are season defining, if that makes sense. I think they're almost free hits, if you will. But they're only like that if we can do something against West Ham and Wolves. Very difficult games.
Yeah, it feels like, again, without having looked at the head-to-head before we started, it feels like our record against West Ham isn't very good. I'd have them down as a bit of a bogey team. Yeah, it's just something about them is not... I don't enjoy these games with them. I've got some crap memories of games against West Ham over the years. And just looking at the Premier League table rather than the league earned one, only 4 points behind Man United. You know, we're talking about Man United, are they going to catch Villa and all this? I'd be thinking, it's more likely West Ham are going to catch Man United. West Ham have got something to play for, which is obviously not good for Villa. You almost get into the stage of the season where teams aren't going to be having much to play for as we head into game week 32, 33, and you're playing kind of mid-table fodder, got no threat of going down, and they're not going to go for Europe. West Ham could very easily still finish in the Europa League place next season. Obviously, they're in the Europa League still at the moment. They battered Freiburg, didn't they, yesterday night, which is great for everyone looking out on the coefficient points. Seventh West Ham, 43 points. Man United, 47. And Brighton behind them, 42. Wolves, 41. Newcastle, 40. Even Chelsea, 39. So the West Ham, if they're not going to capitalise and get into sixth place, they certainly need to hold on to seventh, at least, you would think. So quite a big game for both sides. This was something to play for. Villa will feel like they need to win, I suppose, because every game feels that way, that we need to win. Wolves after an international break is not going to be easy. You'd never want to go into an international break on the back of a loss, because you don't get it out of your system, do you, for 10 days, 2 weeks. It's crap. All we'll be talking about is what went wrong at West Ham. If we are to get something out of this game against West Ham, how do we do it? Is it a case of stopping Bowen, stopping Ward-Prowse, don't give Ward-Prowse free kicks on the edge of the area, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, Ward-Prowse didn't play, or he didn't start, in midweek against Freiburg. I don't know if that's anything to look at for Sunday. Suchek and Alvarez played with Paqueta, and I think Paqueta came off because he was injured, but I think it was like a precaution thing, and I don't think he wanted to come off anyway, because he threw a bit of a strop when he came off. But yeah, I think it's a mix. You know, Villa clearly have a lot of quality in their ranks, but then I do look at West Ham's forward line and I think, wow, you know, Bowen, Kudus is a sensational player. Paqueta, as I've said, they have a lot of quality, West Ham, so we will have to keep a lid on them. And going the other way, we will make chances ourselves, so it is going to be, you know, similar to Fulham, I suppose. I think they have similar records actually at home this season. West Ham, I know I've said that they've only lost once in like 14, but they've obviously got quite a few draws in that run as well. But Villa aren't really in the position at the moment to think about drawing matches and taking a point here and there. Kind of just got to win football matches now. You know, we get into the point of the season where, you know, for example, if Tottenham draw to Fulham, that'll feel like a win for Villa because it's 2 points, which could be the difference come the end of the season. Obviously, Villa would have to back it up with something for themselves against West Ham. So, yeah, this is the point of the season now where Villa really, really do need to dig in. And as I say, we have some tough, tough games to come this season. Before the season's out. And, you know, West Ham isn't Man City or Arsenal away, but it will be difficult. Yeah. But it's also a game that we're probably going to have to go and, don't get me wrong, your fourth place is another question if we draw the match, but these are just opportunities now, because what we can't do is all of a sudden go four league games without a win, which, you know, would happen if we don't beat one of Wolves and West Ham, because I don't think we'd get anything against City either. It is kind of the business end of the season is now. It's arrived. We put ourselves in a really good position, but we're now going to have to go to a place like, as I say, West Ham, who will be, they'll be up for it because they'll, you know, have a point to prove themselves. Villa without McGinn, that's obviously a huge blow. Our captain, McLaren, gives us so much, especially against the midfield, who was so energetic and strong, physically capable of dominating. You know, it's going to be difficult. I presume Tim comes into the 11. I don't think that Tielemans would drop back into midfield with Louise, so yeah, it's going to be different for Villa and how we move the ball, how we keep it, and how we defend. But it's a difficult game whether McGinn played or not. So yeah, kind of proves how tricky it will be.
Yeah, we've got ourselves into a good position, like you said, and we've just kind of like got to see it home now. We've got to just kind of do enough to get over the line. It looks like fifth place will be a Champions League spot. We will know, I think, for certain in the next European round of fixtures in another 3 or 4 weeks. So the German side goes out and more English sides go through. It's almost nailed on that fifth place has got it. And we can kind of, I want to say relax, which is probably the wrong word, but we can relax a little bit knowing, okay, well, we don't have to finish fourth. I've seen a lot of questions and you will know for definite. There's no differences between finishes in fifth and fourth. Like fifth isn't a playoff Champions League spot or anything. You go straight into next year's competition proper of the league table system. So finishing fifth is no worse than finishing fourth. You might be a lesser seeded club possibly in the standings for how the fixtures are drawn, but realistically, I don't think it'll make too much difference whether you finish fifth or fourth.
Yeah, you're in that big league table. I forget how many teams you're in now. Is it
36, I think?
Just on that as well, Dan, I know you speak about like the fifth and stuff. I'm still thinking Man United aren't. They're not moving on. They're not.
Nah, forget Man United. Not worth thinking about. It's not because we, like I said, it's different to last year, because last year we kind of, we were the ones who were kind of having to put a run together to get into the top seven, and we did it. Yeah. It did feel like we have to keep winning. And there was an element of that now, and internally there will still be, we have to keep winning, of course. Yeah. But as a fan, how do I even say this without coming across wrong? But hopefully. I'm not ultra like, we have to win, we have to beat West Ham, we have to beat Wolves. Like, yeah, it'd be amazing. We still need to get about 5 wins from 10 games left, 1 in 2. That's doable.
Yeah.
If we don't beat West Ham, it's 5 wins in 9. If we don't beat Wolves, it's 5 wins in 8. And it gets more difficult, obviously, as the season goes on, that you're running out of time. I get it. You want to get the wins now rather than thinking, oh, we have to win the last 3 games of the season. I understand that, of course. But if we do get 5 wins, Man United have got to get 8 or 9. And that's
we've done the maths. 5 wins, yeah, sound. But if we don't beat West Ham or Wolves, if not both, well, then United can cut the gap quite easily to about 6 points, you know, because they'll have Sheffield United at home to come. Their fixtures are better than ours. We will be going to Fenerbahce or Olympiacos, Lille. We'll be playing home games. I just think our run is really difficult in April, especially. But I'm still of the same mentality as I was a few weeks ago of, can we just finish above United? But I still think that's a task. I really do, it just because of the games that we've got coming up. And I'm with you, like, United, if United get top 5 this season, you know, I'd feel embarrassed by it, which is crazy because, you know, United have spent so much and they're, you know, one of the biggest clubs in the world. They've had Champions League before, you know, for many seasons. We haven't. But we're better than them. I know we've lost them twice, but we deserve top 5 above Man United. Yeah. But we still have things to prove. We still need to go to somewhere like West Ham and win and beat Wolves. City and Arsenal, where we so hard. You know, Liverpool will be difficult. They'll be going for the league. There's a lot to go still in the season. And I said before, and, you know, not a genius by saying it, but we just need to take it game by game still. You know, I'm still checking the table every day, you know, looking at the permutations about who plays when, you know, when could this happen? And United obviously have a game in hand against Sheffield United from this weekend to come, so that you can basically add 3 points to their tally. But it would be also nice to see us move, what would it be, 11 points again ahead of them? Even though, as I say, you can basically add 3 points onto them. It just gives us a psychological advantage of, you know, if we can win at West Ham, then what does that mean? Yeah.
But there's also the flip side psychological impact there, where we will be doing what we saw Newcastle do last year, when other clubs, Man United fans, Spurs fans, will be looking at the fixtures after they've played, or if Villa play first and they play the following day, or however the fixtures have come out, and they'll go, bloody hell, Villa won again. They keep doing it, they keep winning. That's the position we need to be in. If we chip away at 4 or 5 wins, it makes it an impossible task for Man United.
We certainly are good enough to win 5 of, you know, the 10, as you say, Dan. It's just, if we win 1 of the next 3, then all of a sudden we know we're going to have to go on a bit of a run. And yes, we're more than capable. Yeah. Absolutely. But it's just the pressure. I feel like we could have, I think I said a couple of weeks ago, we have an opportunity now, this is before the Tottenham game, to basically relieve pressure and win, as you say, like 1 in 2, and we can just about, you know, just get over the line. It doesn't have to be flashy or whatever. But if we, you know, struggle in the next couple of weeks, which, you know, may happen. I don't know. Hopefully not. Hopefully we can win 2 in a row and go to City, and, you know, we don't have to win the game, and, you know, the kind of pressure's off. Last game without McGinn. But if we don't win the, you know, 2 games in a row, and Spurs do, Man United do, then all of a sudden you are looking and thinking, well, we're going to probably have to take this to the last 3 games of the season. We're going to have to win at Brighton. If we don't, then we're going to have to do something against Liverpool. And that's not the position I want to be in, because of the position that we had ourselves, that we find ourselves in now. Like, we have a big opportunity to give ourselves some wiggle room, I suppose, is what we're trying to say. If that's taken away, then what will it do for pressure? What will it do for the Conference League and stuff? So, yeah, there's a lot to, you know, a lot is going to ride on these next couple of weeks for me. West Ham, you know, huge games.
We're going around in circles. So let's move on. Predicted 11 then. Let's talk through that. Obviously, as we commented, did not play against Ajax because of suspension. He will come back into the side. John McGinn will not be there as he starts his 3-match ban for a red card against Spurs. I still do not believe was a red card. McGinn actually had a similar challenge himself that he did on an Ajax player last night. There wasn't even a foul. And I was like, kind of what he did against Spurs.
I thought he probably was a red, to be fair, thinking.
I knew you'd say that.
No.
More chips.
No, I can understand both sides to it, but I think he's left himself open, basically. And I think
he's given the referee a decision to make, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he knew it at the time as well, but it was so stupid.
So, L11 then, do you want to put it together for me? what would you be doing, or what's Emery going to be doing, or whatever this format is?
Obviously, Martinez in goal. I think Matty Cash, by the way, was excellent against Ajax.
Yeah, but, we said that last night.
I've got him at right back, Konsa and Torres at centre back, Luca Dean at left back. Obviously, Carlos picked up an injury. Luiz and Tim in midfield. As I said earlier, I don't think Tielemans will be brought back in, you know, that deep, but I do expect him to play. Whether he'll be, you know, as high as supporting Watkins throughout the match, or will he kind of be dropping back almost into like a three-man midfield? Probably the latter. So Tielemans, Luiz, and Tim on the right, Bailey on the left. Oh, so badly, haven't I?
Yeah, you've told yourself to not say. What you want to say is Tim and Luiz are middle two. Tielemans off the left, but can drop in to help essentially. Bailey and Watkins up front, Diaby on the right, or Diaby up front, Bailey on the right, either or, interchangeable.
Yeah.
We've already spoken about Watkins on the post-match show, that it was nothing serious when he first goes down and it's a knee pain and he looks in serious pain. Everyone, I'm sure, was thinking, oh no, here we go, our fourth ACL of the season. But it's just a cut from a stud of a boot from the goalkeeper. They wrapped it up with a bandage. He came off after scoring, so it can't have been too bad. We said on the post-match show, a couple of stitches and a bag of frozen peas, and I'm sure he'll be fine for Sunday. And that is what we're expecting to be the case. Watkins should be fit enough to start against West Ham.
Emery was pretty confident, and it was just a cut really on the knee. That's not something that I expected that would keep him out, but obviously at the time, you know, obviously I think everyone probably thought it was worse than what it was, but we've all had those cuts, you know. I don't know if you have done, I don't know, but you, when it opens up, it really is difficult to manage, and you could see him hobbling throughout the period that he stayed on the pitch. So yeah, it was, I don't think it was something that Villa were thinking, oh, we have to bring him off. We'll just see how he is, because it's just a cut. It looked, you know, it's an open wound. Yeah, but it's not anything that's going to get worse, I don't think, by playing necessarily, unless he goes in front of the tackle. But it's not a muscle injury or ligaments, etc. So, they were happy for him to carry on. But obviously, he was moving around pretty gingerly. He probably thought as well, I've scored my goal. Villa are 1-0 up. You know, they don't need me necessarily to win this game now. So I can save myself. I'm sure that if there was 10 minutes to go in the game or something, he would have probably stayed on. I think it was that sort of thing. So yeah, hopefully he'll be fine for to play West Ham, and you know, he'll be fully fit as well, not just like 60% Watkins. Because if he was only 60%, 50%, I'd play John Duran, because I think you need you need to be fully firing against West Ham. And I thought John Duran was very good again against Ajax, a player who I'm really warming to.
Watkins will be fit to start. I think he'll probably score. I think Villa win the game. That's my prediction.
I'll tell you that for sure. I think it'll probably be a draw, if I'm honest. You know, I wouldn't take a draw. You know, Villa need to be winning games at this stage of the season, as I say. But I just think it's a finely poised match. And yeah, West Ham's home form is pretty good, you know, considering everything, you know, considering that the fans complain at every kick of the ball, etc., during games. And without McGinn as well, it's going to make our life quite a whole lot harder, I think. Hopefully, if we can get the win, it'll be huge. As I say, it would give us so much confidence going into the international break. We could then regroup, play Wolves at home, home game under, would it be under the lights, 5:30? Probably not, under the lights in the second
half.
Probably
not by then, yeah. The lights will be on, but it won't be very dark by then.
So if we win our next two games, it puts us in a very, very, very good position
to then
attack the final 2 months of the season plus Conference League.
I'll go 2-1. I'm not going to blast them away or anything, but I do think we'll do enough to win. Last week, me and Matt both went for a Spurs win in the preview that we did, which is the first
Spurs
preview.
Win.
No, sorry, Villa win against Spurs, sorry.
Okay.
We never predict Villa to lose, do we? So, both of us obviously got that massively wrong, so no points. He kind of used his platform there to be your prediction for the league table thing that I'm doing. So would you have gone for a Spurs win?
No, I would have said draw as well.
Okay, so still no points anyway.
Yeah.
So this week specifically, West Ham, I'm saying 2-1. What are you going for? 1-1?
2-2.
2-2, Desmond. Yeah. Lovely jubbly. Okay, so 1-2 for me, 2-2 for you. We will be doing a post-match show on Sunday afternoon. The kickoff is 2 o'clock. I don't know who will be on that yet, but there will be a show. We'll also do the Monday show on Monday, of course, a big Q&A episode as always. I think we might be doing that in the office all together for the first time, possibly. We'll talk about that in a second. If you've enjoyed this one, please let us know. Scroll down into the YouTube comments and share your thoughts. If you're listening on podcast platforms, leave us a rating and a review. They are greatly appreciated. United. John, thanks for your time. Thank you for watching. And we'll see you Sunday.